The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The voice of the people. News Talk 710, KNUS, Denver. If you can't convince them, just confuse them. This is Peter Boyles on News Talk 710, KNUS.
Peter Boyles playing hooky again. Of course, I don't mind. He will be back on Thursday morning. Happy New Year's Eve 2019, the very last day of the year as we launch into the roaring 20s, starting at 12 p.m. plus 1 second tonight. Man, what a year it's been, but what do we have to look forward to coming up? Just unimaginable. We've got these tensions now elevating. Our embassy's been breached in Iran. And who knows how that's going to flare up. One wonders, and I often do, but for the constant attacks against this president, certainly from the time he came down the escalator throughout the election, the Republicans didn't want him, the establishment didn't want him, the Democrats didn't want him. Although Hillary claims that she was grateful when he became the nominee because he'd be the easiest to beat. The globalists don't want him. The Boris Johnsons and some of the other great new populist leaders around the world will be a power force along with this president. But the old guard world leaders, Angela Merkel and others, don't want anything to do with Donald Trump. And the Democrats are taking advantage of that. They know they can't beat him in the election next year. And so they're doing everything in their possibility, the realm of possibility, to try and take him down. Constant stories, the impeachment hoax. New York Times just released a 9,000-word article trying to flesh out more details about the conversations that were going on in the White House over withholding the money for Ukraine. And frankly, I haven't read it yet. I probably will before my Saturday show. I wait until I don't have to breach the firewall and it gets printed somewhere else because I will not pay money to the New York Times. But the reviews that I've heard about it is a well put together piece. It's designed to give CNN and MSLSD more talking points, but that really it makes the case for the president that it wasn't just him saying, "Hey, I'm going to hold this money over Ukraine's head until they launch an investigation into the Bidens and announce it on CNN." You know, it just doesn't come across that way. So I think this is another boomerang and backfire. But clearly what Nancy Pelosi's trying to do is just buy more time, dig up more evidence, try and do something. We see where in the Gallup poll, Donald Trump and Barack Obama rated as the most favored men in the world. Michelle Obama, number one again. And Melania Trump, number two in the Gallup poll. Popularity at 50-51%, depending on what polls you look at for this president. That is major reelection territory. So Nancy Pelosi's just trying desperately for all of her acolytes in the media and the investigations and hoping something will come along to change public perception, make them interested in impeachment again. Which is why she hasn't transmitted, is the term of art, transmitted the articles of impeachment to the Senate. What in the world are we going to see in these roaring 20s? All right, I do want to do this audio that we have regarding the shooting, but let's have one more call because Brett's been waiting a long, long time to talk about the new law, Jude's Law in Colorado, where a person now can, by choice, go back and have their birth certificate, the state of Colorado, reissued, showing the gender preference that they now exhibit. And so, Brett, I'm sure you've got something to say. Good morning.
Oh, Good morning, Randy. Happy New Year to you and your family.
You too, sir.
And yes, I could sit and talk to you about every subject that you have on the radio, but I'm calling about that specific one for now. It is a giant setup from the left. And what I mean by that is they are setting up law-abiding young men. Here's how, okay? You go back, you change your birth certificate. You're a male, you switch to female. Now, as a female, we know that people lie. So now that you're a female, you're going to go out and you're going to find a young man. Whether that young man knows you're a transgender or not is completely up to you. You don't tell him. We've seen this on Jerry Springer a number of years ago. The young man falls in love with you. He asks you to marry him. You marry him. Later down the road, somehow, he finds out that you were a man changed to a woman. Now he's lost his mind because that is a devastating thing to put somebody through. He kills the transgender. You just turned a law-abiding citizen into a murderer.
Well, perhaps, but, you know, physically, these men who are changing into women don't typically become the most attractive of females, do they? I mean, it's going to be... Yeah, it's going to be... That's a hard... You can change your birth certificate, you can grow the hair, you can take the shots, but it is really hard to change the... distinctive features between the genders, even if you add the curves. I don't know. But, it's not good.
It's one of those, but it's not a good thing.
Well, Brett,
it's not a good thing.
I wish you the happiest of New Year's, and I know I'll see you in 2020. There'll be a lot happening. It's going to be a very important time to get people engaged, and, boy, nobody's any better at that than you, and we sure do appreciate it, Brett.
Oh, you got it, brother. I'll be on the state capitol steps a lot next year.
Yes, and in fact, I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm going to look up the date, but I think it's this coming Saturday, the first rally on the west steps of the Capitol. I'll make sure I get all that information, and we'll talk about it when we're joined by Jeff Hunt from the Centennial Institute here in about 20 minutes.
Absolutely. Well, I may be out of range to listen to your radio station. You have my cell number. If you'll text me the information, I'll get some people on it.
Sounds good, Brett. Superb. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
You better believe it. Bikers unite, baby. All right, 607, and Karen Cataline is listening from way up north, and this is a very important text. Last word, unless we get more callers on it, last word on the issue of the changing your birth certificate. But it's very, very important. She writes, Randy, it's even more sinister than that. Proponent, and I had mentioned the fraction of a fraction of our population. Proponents of the gender wars have an answer for you, that it's a fraction of a fraction. They are actively creating gender dysphoria in the very young on a massive scale. So the fraction will grow and grow, and it's working. Few have the courage to ask why. And she gives examples, the drag queen story hours, LGBT forced sex education, gender fluidity, which inculcated gender dysphoria. Yeah, the list goes on and on. Just one of the many social issues that we'll be dealing with as we head into these roaring 20s. I don't want to get serious now. This shooting in Texas Sunday could have been another mass shooting. The man who was there with the shotgun was planning to take out as many people as he could. And I think it's really important to remember where Democrats, especially Democrats running for president, stand on this sort of thing. Julian Castro had this to say, gosh, I think less than a year ago.
So I think the case is there to be made. The other thing that's happened in very clear fashion in Texas recently with the El Paso shooting is that this idea of the good guy with a gun versus a bad guy with a gun has been totally shattered. I mean, you think about what happened in El Paso. There was a shooter that drove 10 hours from the DFW area, Dallas-Fort Worth area, to a Walmart that they said had between 1,000 and 3,000 people in it at that time. I mean, must have known that in Texas, where you have open carry, you have concealed carry, you have campus carry, one of the highest rates of gun ownership, that shooter knew that he was walking into a place where a lot of people were carrying. That didn't make a difference. He also knew that they had armed security there, right? And that didn't end up making a difference. So this argument that some have made to suggest that the answer is more guns, to me, over and over again, not only in El Paso, but time and again, that has been debunked. And I believe that more voters actually realize that in Texas and throughout the United States. And that's part of the reason that people have had a conversion.
Yeah, boy, those words may come back to bite. And speaking of biting, bite me, Biden weighed in on this as well back in September.
And the second one is on the dealing with firearms. It is irrational, with all due respect to the governor of Texas, irrational what they're doing. On the very day you see a mass shooting, I guess the numbers now, I was on a plane the last 2.5 hours, I think up to 5 killed. And we're talking about loosening access to have guns, be able to take them into places of worship, store them in school. I mean, it's just absolutely irrational.
Yes.
It's totally irrational. And it's...
Yeah, absolutely irrational, Creepy Joe Biden says there. Beto O'Rourke, of course, weighed in and said that after the shooter was put down, came out and said what we're doing in Texas is obviously not working. Because his approach is to take guns, to take all the guns. The left's ultimate goal is to have all of the guns out of the hands of citizens. Put them into the hands of law enforcement, put them into the hands of government, put them into the hands of the federal government, and then we, the government, will keep you safe. And so when something works, obviously they still have to say, well, gosh, the guy had a gun. He was able to take it into the church. That was a convicted felon who was violating all kinds of laws by having a gun in the first place. All your laws in the world aren't going to stop criminals from violating the law. And the only logical approach then is to not have these gun-free zones where the vast majority of shootings are drawn to. In Aurora, the shooter, the Aurora movie theater shooting, drove past other movie theaters to go to a theater that he knew was identified as a gun-free zone. It's only logical that that's what they do. At the STEM shooting in Highlands Ranch, the heroes of that day, the high schoolers, Kendrick Castillo, who sacrificed his life, Joshua Jones, Brendan Bialy, who rushed the shooter. The school was put into lockdown. The 911 call was made. It took 2 minutes, though, for the police officers to get there, for the security to get there after the lockdown and the 911 call were made. My recollection was that was 4 or 5 minutes after the shooting had begun. Here's what happened at the church shooting. If you are interested in this, now this is hard to hear as far as I'm concerned. And so I just want to warn you, you can go away for a minute. I don't plan to play it over and over, at least not too much throughout the morning. But it's about a 56-second video. The first 15 seconds are just everybody in their seats, quiet. Somebody's up front, maybe the pastor, but they haven't started the service yet. And then all of a sudden, a man in a black coat with a black hat or something on top of his head stands up and pulls his shotgun out. And here's what happens. Now, of course, people are freaking out, and if you watch this, some people are trying to get out of there. Some people are getting down on the floor where they can be protected by the benches, at least out of sight of the shooter. But did you hear how fast that was? I'm just play the shooting part again. Three shots, the first two fatal shots from the shooter, but the third shot was from Jack Wilson, the good guy with the gun that Biden and Castro and Beto McDork and all of the Democrats will tell you doesn't exist, doesn't make sense, have to stop it, shouldn't be there. That third shot was from Jack Wilson, the good guy with the gun, who from, they say 50 feet, it's hard to estimate from the video, from 50 feet, one shot to the head of the shooter. Now, this was a guy who was trained. This is a guy who ran a shooting range. This is a guy who was ready, whose life made him ready for this moment. But there are less than 4 seconds that elapsed from the time the shooter jumped up, fired those two shots two fatal shots to the time when he was taken out by a good guy with a gun who was ready for his circumstances. Highlands Ranch took 2 minutes for law enforcement to get there, and that was 4 or 5, maybe 6 minutes after the shooting had already begun at the STEM school. Law enforcement could not get there in time to stop what happened. It took the unbelievable courage of a young high schooler, Kendrick Castillo, who will forever, must be forever remembered as a hero, an inspiration, not just to fellow children, not just to fellow high schoolers, not just to fellow Coloradoans, to everybody in the world. The little bit of time I have spent with his parents, I am just in awe of what kind of people raise that kind of a young man. My God, what they must have instilled in him to run at that shooter, to sacrifice his life. I remember back when the story was fresher, reading stories, comments from John Castillo, Kendrick's father. He said, "I told my son, don't be a hero. We talked about school shootings. Don't give up your life for one of these, son. You know, we can't be without you." I watched my parents after my brother was killed in an accident. And I just can't imagine, you know, Christmas and now New Year's for those parents. It takes years for that pain to just dull. It never goes, but it dulls. You learn to live. You move on. You keep going. Life is for the living. I get all that. But those three high school heroes, Kendrick Castillo, who gave up his life, saved countless lives that day when law enforcement was minutes away. One more time, just how quick this happened, because someone was ready. This church had security. Texas, last September, changed their law so that it was permissible to carry firearms in churches. Two people dead, bang, bang, and then within a millisecond after that, the shooter is gone. The shooter is down because this man, Jack Wilson, was ready.
He had on a fake beard and a fake wig with a toboggan on his head and wearing a long coat. From where I was standing, I could see his right hand at all time, pretty much at all times, could not see his left hand. And apparently, with the shotgun he had, which was a 18-inch short barrel, 12-gauge, with a pistol grip on it, which is a legal firearm, he, you know, had it evidently in his pocket. I don't know this for a fact. Evidently in his pocket and underneath his armpit, underneath the long coat. I know he discharged 2 rounds and possibly a 3rd round as he was going down. Because one round went towards the front of the sanctuary when he, after he shot Richard and Tony, he went and started towards the front of the sanctuary, and that's when I, was able to engage him, and I fired 1 round.
Fired 1 round from 50 feet, the reports say. Simply incredible. Jack Wilson mentions that the shooter was carrying a legal firearm, but he was carrying it illegally because he was a convicted felon with a lengthy rap sheet. The hero from Sunday, Jack Wilson, continued.
From the time he walked in the door, we had him on eyes on him, both physical eyes and cameras.
You mentioned that you took a pause because there were people in the area.
And there were people in front of me between the shooter and myself. Trying to get, because the chaos that erupted when he shot the first time, some of the people stood up and were trying to get in the way. I had to wait just a second because the whole thing was less than 6 seconds from start to finish. And, that was, I had to make sure I didn't hit it, someone, a member there, as they were right in front of me.
And at any point did you want to go check on Tony and Richard? You've talked about them right now. It sounds like they were friends.
Because other people were already coming in to check on them, my goal was to make sure the shooter didn't get up. And, you know, when I went over to cover him, I wanted to make sure that he was not going to get up. So that was my focus.
This church, this particular man, the team that they had put together were ready. And as a result, multiple lives were saved. Good guys with guns save lives. Here's the end of the Jack Wilson interview.
When you approached him, did he say anything? Did he do anything?
There was no verbal communication out of him whatsoever at that point. He was down. He was bleeding profusely from his head. And the only movement was, you know, just body twitching, which, you know, happens, you know, when someone is in that condition where they're about to die.
The rounds that put him down were yours?
Yeah, there was only one. I only fired one round. And it was, you know, the only shot I had, which, you know, was a headshot, which, you know, in my classes I teach not to take headshots, but, you know, that was what I felt, you know, that's the only shot I had a clear shot, and I was comfortable taking the shot because of my training and my practice. I don't feel like I killed an individual, I killed evil, and that's how I'm approaching it, that's how I'm processing. I don't see myself as a hero. I see myself as doing what needed to be done to take out the evil threat.
Humble hero, Jack Wilson, interviewed after the Texas church shooting from Sunday. Donald Trump tweeted yesterday about this. I'll read this real quickly and then we'll go to break. Our prayers are with the families of the victims and the congregation of yesterday's church attack. It was over in 6 seconds, and actually it was a little less than four. Thanks to the brave parishioners who acted to protect 242 fellow worshipers. Lives were saved by these heroes and Texas laws allowing them to carry arms. That tweet has been retweeted or liked going up on 153,000 times. All right, well, we're going to change directions for just a little bit. My good friend Jeff Hunt, director of the Centennial Institute over at Colorado Christian University, we're going to spend a few minutes looking back at a great year for Centennial and CCU and look ahead. The March for Life in Washington, D.C. coming up, a whole host of things. So Jeff Hunt will join us on the other side. Stay with us on the Peter Boyle Show here at 710 KNUS.
This is the Peter Boyle Show.
I know you wish that you could see in my window, wishing you could pull up the blind. And I'm wearing my Romeo flower, just me and my maid of mine.
All right, time to get it going here at 6:28. Still dark 30 outside, still cold 30, 18 degrees in Denver, 18 in Aurora. Going to be a frigid evening for anybody outside doing your New Year's Eve celebrations. But happy New Year's Eve to you. So good to have you along on the Peter Boyle Show. I'm Randy Corcoran, and very pleased to be joined by the director of the Centennial Institute over there at Colorado Christian University. He's the vice president of public policy, the chair of the Western Conservative Summit. His name's Jeff Hunt, and he joins us this morning. How you doing, Jeff?
Randy, happy New Year to you.
Same to you, brother. And before we jump in for kind of a quick year in review and looking ahead for what's going on, the Western Conservative Summit is such an important event. It's the biggest gathering of conservatives this side of the Mississippi. You set a record last time. And you gave me a real thrill by allowing me to participate this particular year. But I do have to ask you, I don't think I've ever gotten to ask you this question. What was it intentional? What were you thinking having me go up there on that big stage Saturday night, 1,000-plus people in the room, and try to follow Michelle Malkin?
What? Well, and you introduced Dan Crenshaw, which was one of the highlights of the summit. I got to tell you, Randy, I look so favorably upon the role of the Tea Party. I'm so proud of the work that the Arapaho Tea Party does, in particular in this state. And I thought to myself, we've got to put the leader, the great voice for freedom, Randy Corcoran, up there to not only follow Michelle Malkin, but to introduce one of my favorites, Dan Crenshaw. And in fact, if you look at the Centennial Institute Year in Review, a publication we put out yesterday, you'll see there's a big picture of you shaking Dan's hand right there on on page 5 of the Centennial Review. So you got to go check that out.
Well, I'm actually looking at it right now. I pulled it up because I knew you were coming on, and I had no idea that Dan Crenshaw and I were wearing the exact same suit coat.
Well, you guys look good. That was such a fun night.
Oh man!
And the summit turned out so well. We had a blast, and yeah, over 2,000 people from 38 states coming to Colorado to be a part of this great movement for freedom and liberty that John Andrews and Bill Armstrong started, and we're proud to keep it going into its second decade now.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. And my last comment on this year's Western Conservative Summit is, I knew I was right at home when I went up there, and I had a suit on. We'd been in the green room hanging out with all of the great Saturday night speakers back there. I was really feeling pumped up, and I walked out and stepped away from the podium and told everybody, I feel like I'm naked up here, and referenced my suit, and then pointed to my head and said, "No MAGA hat." And everybody laughed, and it really broke the ice for me, first time doing something like that, and it was really a lot of fun. So thank you so much for that.
Well, we'll be glad to have you back again this year. We, like I mentioned, I'm just so very proud of the grassroots conservatives, the Tea Party movement, and gosh, we need that strong this year in Colorado. We're going to face a lot of challenges at the legislature. I know you're going to have Leader Neville on, Patrick Neville, who's the leader of the Republicans in the House. And we're going to need a strong conservative grassroots voice all through the legislature this year. And then, of course, it's an election year, so that'll need to be strong as well. We'll have a lot of issues on the ballot. So keep going, my friend. Keep that Tea Party strong.
Well, I appreciate that, Jeff. And boy, you are really taking advantage of your podium, the access that you have to media, national media and locally, to really push the issues that are important to CCU and to conservatives here in the state of Colorado. When I scroll through your year in review, the amount of people who have, for instance, were able to watch the Western Conservative Summit or have interacted with CCU and the Centennial Institute with your appearances, over 4 million, 223% increase in media exposure for Centennial Institute. What period of time is that?
Well, that was just last year.
Wow.
And we have so many great fellows. If you ever get a chance to meet our fellows, people like Peter Droege, Derek Wilborn, Helen Raleigh, who I think is one of the most brilliant voices we have, not only on immigration issues, she came to America from China, but she has spoken out against what's happening in China and Hong Kong, the freedom movement that's happening there. She is one of the rising stars. And I got to tell you, one of the most exciting things about leading the Centennial Institute is watching these stars rise up and then take on careers of their own. Jenna Ellis Reeves started with us. And,
sure.
She was always happy to do radio, television, anywhere. Now she's basically got her own show on Fox News and is advising the president. And
yeah,
so we've been very proud of her work.
She's got got everybody's show on Fox News.
And they even
welcome her in on CNN sometimes. I played the exchange she had with a unknown CNN commentator who thought he was setting her up. He pulled a clip from her appearance a night or two before on Hannity where she talked about, Democrats not just opposing our policies, but that they hate our Constitution and they hate America. And he played this clip for her thinking it was going to be a gotcha moment. How can you say that? And she spent a minute and a half basically leaving him speechless, explaining exactly what she meant. And we had her on the radio last week here too as well. She is just terrific. Derek Wilborn, he founded the Rocky Mountain Black Tea Party. So he and I got to know each other very early in the Tea Party movement. And Helen Raleigh, who you just mentioned, I was in my LPR 2012 class. So it is amazing all the ripples that have come out of this movement that's now going into its 11th year.
Bill Armstrong and John Andrews set this off right, and we're just going to keep it going. But The conservative movement is strong in Colorado, and I think the last election, when it comes to issues, was very clear on that. The defeat of Proposition CC, the defeat of Jeffco 1A, these efforts to try to take taxpayer dollars away and hand them to government for special projects. We're a fiscally conservative state. That's something to be very proud of. And we've got these great conservative leaders rising up, these young, talented, grassroots conservative leaders that we just got to get out there. And that's what I love about the Centennial Institute is we speak into the issues of the day. The news that's happening, what's breaking, we want to get conservative thought on that to provide a conservative perspective so people can understand issues from a free market, limited government, personal responsibility perspective. And we've had a lot of success in the media, which is very exciting testimony to our founders.
And donations to CCU or to the Centennial Institute are tax deductible, correct?
That's correct. We're a 501c3. We do not exist separately or independently from Colorado Christian University. We are a project of CCU. We're very proud to represent the strategic priorities of the university. This is a university that's had 10 years of record enrollment for a very simple formula. It's not complicated. We are very committed to our faith and the teachings of the Bible and sharing the gospel and teaching our students to go out and represent the gospel. And then secondly, committed to the conservative worldview to impact our culture in support of traditional family values and the sanctity of life, compassion for the poor, and biblical view of human nature. And the original intent of the Constitution, Randy, do you know many universities that are teaching their students about the original intent of the Constitution? You know, most universities are going the opposite direction and trying to tear that founding document apart. We're very proud of our nation, of the founding of our nation, of the principles of our nation. And we're not only are we going to teach our students that, we want to impact our culture. So we want to be out in the public square talking about these foundational principles. And each year, the Western Conservative Summit has a bigger and bigger footprint. Our media footprint's getting bigger. So I think, you know, there's a movement afoot to embrace the founding principles of faith, family, and freedom. And we're happy to be the forefront of that and to have good friends like you, Randy.
Well, I mention it because it is the end of the year. People who have benefited from the Trump economy this year and have money that to get those tax deductions and help a good cause, it's go ahead and give the website for anybody who wants to make a end-of-the-year donation.
Oh, I appreciate that, Randy. ccu.edu/centennial. You can go right there and you'll see a donate page, donate button right at the top, ccu.edu/centennial.
I want to look ahead. I know what you will probably consider to be your biggest upcoming event, the first of many, but the biggest one nearest to us. I want to talk about that in a second, but I just want to comment. When you talk about 10 years of record enrollment, whenever I'm over there at CCU, I see the the building that's going on, it's hard to keep up with all of that. I think about Hillsdale College and other great universities, Charlie Kirk and Turning Point USA, that movement on college campuses to re-expose people to American history, to founding documents, to free market economics, all of the important things that make America the oasis that it is in the world. I feel really good about our prospects for the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And what we're seeing on the education front is a lot of parents are going, I'm not going to spend 40 grand a year to allow you to unravel everything I spent 18 years establishing into my child. I don't want to have to debate them on the values of socialism when they come home from Thanksgiving.
God.
And so, parents are waking up. They're recognizing the importance of that. But, when you look at Turning Point USA, when you look at Liberty, when you look at Hillsdale, you look at Colorado Christian University, they're thriving. And it's because people are hungry for what works, and what works are the founding principles of this nation. We've tried all the stuff that the left is putting out there. The idea that we're going to grow government, that government's going to become a central planning agency for every aspect of your life. We've done that throughout history. It never works. In fact, I was just reading about everything that happened in Cambodia and what they did to intellectualism and trying to centrally plan everything, and that they lost a quarter of the population. Socialism has never worked in any country ever, and yet the left in America thinks they've stumbled upon some newfangled idea that they want to put forth. And people are smart enough to recognize that we don't want to be doing that. And so, I think there's a lot of excitement to be happening. And, you know, from a personal perspective on political stuff, not speaking for the organization I work for, when you look at what Donald Trump has put together as a coalition with African-American supporters and Hispanic supporters and young supporters and blue-collar supporters. Randy, I was in the conservative movement since – I've been in the conservative movement since 2006. There's never been someone that's been able to put together this type of coalition, this winning coalition of evangelicals and Catholics and minorities and young people and blue-collar workers the way Donald Trump has. And I think there's a lot to be excited about because the average American looks at the left and goes, I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to be a part of taking jobs away from the energy industry and good people that are working in oil and gas in rural Colorado. I don't want to be a part of the effort to take away school choice and limit education options for families. I don't want to be a part of the effort to ruin our economy. Things are going great, and I think people recognize it's conservative values and principles and ideas that have led to the success that we're experiencing in this country.
Director of the Centennial Institute, Jeff Hunt, is with us, and we're wrapping it up here, Jeff. I understand we're going to have Trevor Loudon on at 7, at 7 o'clock. So I understand you've made Loprino Hall available for his appearance here in Colorado in January.
Oh, that'll be great. And, you know, there's so many things happening at Colorado Christian University, so we're going to have a lot of great speakers this spring. We haven't announced this one yet, but we're going to have Michael Barone visiting CCU in the spring. We're going to have Alveda King speaking at Chapel here soon.
Nice.
And then, as you know, Randy, as I broke on your station, we're going to be taking nearly 200 students to the March for Life this year in Washington, D.C. These are students raising their hands saying they want to be pro-life leaders.
I just want to tell you, I got out my checkbook for that one when I heard that announcement, and I hope I hope people who talk the talk on defending life in the womb, unborn life in the womb, take that to heart, especially as we're here at the end of the end of the year, last chance to get that tax deductible contribution. Very important.
Absolutely. I mean, we've been waiting a generation for young people to say, we're pro-life, we want to be pro-life, we want to end Roe v. Wade, and we just had a revival breakout at CCU on this. Nearly 200 students. Last year we took a record 27. This year, 198. I mean, it's really exciting.
Man. Yeah.
And so I would love to have you all help support us on that.
And that's going to be, is that in March? Is that what you said?
That'll be in January. January 25th is the March for Life in Washington,
wow.
D.C.
Wow, wow, wow. So we're kicking off the new year with a bang over there at the Centennial Institute. And as we always have in the past, as long as I'm on the air, we'll get you on whenever we can to let people know what's happening down there. And I, again, encourage everybody to get involved in social media. Follow me on Twitter. Follow Jeff Hunt on Twitter. It's how we get the word out about some of these great events coming up. We're definitely up against it now, Jeff. But I want to wish you a very, very happy new year. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for all of the great work. You know, John Andrews kicked that thing off, and you've picked up the mantle and run with it and taken it to a whole new level. And I think God will bless you for it. I sure thank you for it, and I wish you a very, very happy new year, sir.
Thank you, Randy, and keep up the great work. You're a voice for freedom in the state, and we look forward to having you at the summit again this year.
Superb, Jeff. Thanks. I'll look forward to it as well. Have a good one.
God bless you.
God bless you, sir. And we'll have some open lines until Trevor Loudon joins us at 7 o'clock, 303-696, if you'd like to weigh in. 696-1971 on the Peter Boyle Show, 710 KNUS.
Message and data rates apply. When radio counts, count on Peter Boyle's.
Unless he feels like skiing some more. Peter Boyle's playing hooky again, last time for the year. He'll get away with that, I can guarantee you. Peter will be back here on Thursday morning. I'm Randy Corcoran from Saturdays, and about 8 minutes to go now until 7 o'clock. Temperature has not budged. Still dark outside. 18 degrees in Aurora. 18 degrees in Denver. High today, though, around 43, warming up to 50 degrees for the first day of the year. And with a little cooling in between. We may be back in the 50s with a lot of sun for Saturday and Sunday this weekend. So, as usual, it is a privilege to live in Colorado, even though the laws that will be kicking in starting in about 18 hours and 9 minutes are going to freak you out. We went through some of these in the 5 o'clock hour. Jude's Law grants people the ability to change the past. If a person were born male with the requisite body part or female with the requisite body part, but now identify as being the opposite gender, Jude's Law allows them to go back and change their birth certificate, obtain a brand new copy listing them as the gender of their choice. And then the marijuana hospitality establishment law, if you voted, and I was against legalizing marijuana, resisted my libertarian instincts, and understand it's a states' rights issue, and the people of Colorado voted for it. I wish they hadn't. I have too much experience of my own from way back when to think that that was a good idea. But if you voted because you believed that what you do in the privacy of your own home is was a principle, a value for you, God bless you for that. I tend to agree. But now they're going to allow businesses to apply for cannabis social use space licenses. So you'll be walking down the 16th Street Mall and maybe have your little boy, little girl, my grandchildren, as they get old enough to walk around. And, I mean, nobody's going to be walking down that mall with kids because there'll be pot smoke wafting out of the marijuana hospitality establishment. So, listen, you always have to think long term, especially when liberals are making laws. If it sounds radical now, you ain't seen nothing yet. The red flag law in Colorado, very similar to what the red flag law started out to be in California, but now California's had it for a while, and they've expanded it in a host of ways. One of the many issues we get into, and that I get into when I talk to people at these different gatherings about the red flag law, they ask for an inch, but they plan to take an entire mile. And then we've got this little cutie, bed bugs in residential premises. If you are a renter and you find bed bugs, the landlord has to fix that problem within 4 days. Now, besides an unrealistic timeline, what if the renter brought in the bed bugs? It's their mattress. It's their bed. This makes no sense to me. This isn't a hotel. This isn't a motel. This isn't a rent by the week for, you know, workers who are in town for a week or a month or whatever. This is residential premises. So I used to be a renter. I mean, I used to rent houses. I used to be a landlord. And we'd scrub and clean and paint and make everything all nice and shiny for the next tenant. And now if that tenant brings in bed bugs on their mattress, the landlord has 4 days in order to deal with it. Just a taste of what we have to look forward to. We'll get more into that with Colorado Republican House Minority Leader Pat Neville when he joins us at 8 o'clock with a look back at the year that was and a look ahead for the legislative session from hell. But right now, so we've got a nice chunk of time with our next guest, Trevor Loudon. Let's go ahead and take our final break of this hour, and we'll come back at 7 with my good buddy, Trevor Loudon. He will be in Colorado in January, right there at CCU, right there at Colorado Christian University, Loprino Hall. We'll talk about that event and a whole lot more with Trevor Loudon. We'll continue second half of the Peter Boyle Show coming up with Randy Corcoran in on 710 KNUS.